Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 961 is Prana Drit. Prana, we've discussed, means life, life air. Drit gives the sense of holding. So the basic meaning is he, Vishnu, who sustains life, who sustains the life of all living beings. Sri Parashara Bhatta explains this to mean that he sustains the life of all living beings. Like a mother, he nourishes all the living beings. As stated in Sattvata Tantra, Atatatvaj cha matritvad atma hi paramo harihi. The Supreme, Hari, just like a mother, maintains all the living beings. The mother maintains all the children. The father, the mother, they maintain all the children. So similarly, Paramatma, the Supersoul within every living being, maintains them all. Prana Brit is a slightly different different wording is used by Shankaracharya, Satyadeva Vasishta, and others. Meaning is very similar. It gives the idea Brit means to hold or to support. And Shankara says that here it means that Vishnu nourishes all the living beings by the means of food or in the form of food. There's a slight difference there. By means of food means he maintains by giving food. Or if we say that he in the form of food nourishes all the living beings, that means Anna Brahma, Anna, a name of Vishnu in Vishnu Sahasranam, means he is food. Satyadeva Vasishta, very similar, he pervades everything and nourishes and supports everything. Therefore, he is Prana Brit. He rules over all the pranis, all the living beings. He rules over their pran. He causes everyone to eat. We may think, well, I don't notice God making me eat. But where does that impulse come from? To eat. The materialistic so-called scientists will say, well, it's just natural, which doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't explain anything. But the impulse to eat, which is followed by the automatic secretion of digestive fluid. So the eating, the digestion, and then the feeling feeling satisfied, feeling energized, and being able to perform actions. These are all the activities which are facilitated by the various pranas, the various airs in the body, which are all facilitated by him. Everything from birth, growing old, dying, Narayana. We don't see, but he presides over it all. Detached. You want to live in this world? Okay. He gives all facility. But he remains aloof. But it's by his oversight that all the activities of all living creatures and non-living creatures in the whole universe goes on. Satyasandha Tirtha gives a slightly different understanding. He nourishes and supports, specifically he says, the senses and the life. So as I was saying before I started this series of talks on prana, pranada, various names with prana, There's a lot of overlapping. He gives life, he takes it away. Now, as I'm entering old age in this body, I feel how the prana is ebbing away. Srila Prabhupada himself gave the example from his own life that he remembered when he was a young man walking on the beach in Puri. He had so much life. Actually, even amazingly, Srila Prabhupada, in his apparent old age, would walk so fast that even his young, supposed to be powerful, strapping young disciples had a hard time keeping up with him. But Srila Prabhupada said, I used to jump in the water. Now I cannot do that. When Srila Prabhupada went to Puri in 1977, just his pastimes of winding up his pastimes were beginning. So he was saying that I don't feel that strength, that energy, physical energy. Everything becomes a struggle in old age to walk up the stairs, just to drag on throughout the day. Of course, when we're doing Krishna service, everything becomes happy in all circumstances. But it must be very painful for the materialists. That's Krishna's mercy on them if they would only wake up to the message that he's giving, that we're not meant for living in this world at all. Baladev Vidyabhushan explains this name, Prana Brit. He also says Prana Brit, that he sustains the gopis who are his prana, his very life, by giving them the bliss of rasa. Very beautiful, very, very beautiful. From thinking about how he is prana drit or prana brit in terms of sustaining all the living beings, to how Krishna sustains the gopis. Gopi bhartur, gopi bhartuhu, prana brit. Gopi Bhartur, Padakamalaya, Dasu Dasa, Anudasa. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also describes Krishna as Gopi Bhartur, the maintainer of the gopis. Going on to the next name, name 962, Prana Jivana. Prana means life and Jivana means life, so he's the life of the life. It's very similar to the previous name, Prana Drit. He nourishes living beings. Parashara Bhatta says this means that Vishnu supports life just as food and drink do. We may say, well, that was said in the previous name, but that was said by Shankara. So in Parashara Bhatta's own commentary, there's no overlapping. Another commentator, sub-commentator, comments that, all right, food gives the body strength, sustains life, food, water, air, they sustain life, but only because Vishnu makes their nature such that they can sustain the life of the living beings. All the humans, the animals, the birds, the beasts, the reptiles, the mammals, the mollusks, the fish, the algae, the seaweed, the trees in the forest, all the living beings, they remain alive as long as their time is allotted for them to live. He keeps them alive by supplying food, water, air, and so on. This isn't scientific, not according to what they'll teach you in school about science. So what we're teaching here, what Srila Prabhupada taught, is above the education given in the schools and colleges. They teach on a very, very basic platform. It's true what they say, food maintains the body and how according to different metabolisms, the digestion will be strong or not so strong, or different metabolisms. The python can digest a whole deer all at once, whereas a human can only eat a little bit of deer's meat at a time. How is it going on? It's all ordained and sustained by Vishnu. How is he supporting? From giving a body in the first place. We're talking about sustaining life here. We're talking about sustaining the life of the material body. So, first of all, he gives a body, different kinds of bodies. He gives the vital airs, the prana, apana, vayana, udana, all these vital airs for survival. He arranges food to eat. Srila Prabhupada would often quote, nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahudir vidathati kaman. Eko bahudir vidathati kaman. That he is the one supreme eternal among all the eternal living beings. He supplies the necessities of all living beings. Srila Prabhupada would often explain, the elephant in the jungle eats a huge amount of food every day. The ant eats a tiny little bit, but Krishna arranges for their food. It's Krishna, Supersoul. A little piece of sugar falls down in the room, and 5 minutes later, surrounded by ants, Supersoul directs, oh, there's a bit of sugar, go and get it. It's not just some vague kind of mechanism that has come about by imaginary biological evolution. It is Vishnu, Supersoul, Pranajivana. He supplies food to eat, water to drink, the mind to think, the senses to perceive, the senses to act with. They all function in a highly coordinated manner, regulated manner. It's all coordinated by Vishnu. And it goes on until the body has to be left. You have to quit the body, and then he gives another body. Then he becomes a pranada, gives another body. And then Pranajivana supports the body as long as we're in the body. So he, Vishnu, is there, the maintainer of everything. Another aspect of this is that for the devotees, Vishnu, Bhagavan, he is the food that we eat. He is the water that we drink. He is the, just like we need food to eat. We need water to drink. The devotees feel, I need Krishna. We feel hungry. We feel disturbed if we don't eat for some time. So a devotee feels hungry. Oh, I didn't chant my rounds. I'm distracted by various things. Devotee feels anxiety for Krishna. He is just like food sustains the body, nurtures the body, gives pleasure. So in the same way, he, Krishna, sustains us, nourishes, sustains our life. Our life is only for Krishna. Our life is in Krishna consciousness. He sustains us, nurtures us. He is our sustenance, our nurture, and our enjoyment. Devotees take pleasure in Krishna. And even literally, he is food for the devotees. Prasad, he very kindly gives himself to us in the form of food. So in this way, Vasudeva Sarvam. Vasudeva Sarvam iti samahatma sudurlabha. The devotee, the wise man, sees it's Vasudev, Krishna, everywhere, in everything. When we say he's the maintainer of the universe, it means macrocosmically, he's overseeing. but he also enters into everything microcosmically and sustains everything. In the purport to that verse of Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Srila Prabhupada quotes from Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Utamrita tvas yeshano yad anena ti rohati. He is the Lord of immortality and of all that is nourished by food. So he's life for the devotees. Devotees, their whole life is dedicated for him. There's no meaning to their life without him. Shankaracharya explains this name, Pranajivana, to mean, and again, overlapping with other names, he makes the living beings live. Again, we're talking about the material bodies of the living being by means of the prana, or the vital air. In this regard, Shankaracharya quotes from Kathopanishad, Na pranena na panena martyo jivati kaschana itarena tu jivanti yasmin etav upashrito. The embodied soul must at some time undergo death. You may say he's living because of the prana or the apana or the different life airs, but actually it's because of the Lord upon whom these airs depend. So life, if we see from Ayurveda or the Patanjali Yoga system, life is equated with pran, the vital air, or with the body, or with the mind, but that is not exactly life. Life, what does it mean? Well, we say pran, but there has to be a body. Of course, yogis, they can sustain the life air just with a skeleton, as Hiranyakashipu did. But it's there's the body, the mind, the life air, and all of these synergize together. That's what we call the life of a living being. And it's Bhagavan, Vishnu, who does this. We don't think, we just take it for granted, all these things are going on. So discussing this, Gita, Bhagavatam, Vishnu Sahasranam, helps us to better understand how these things are going on. As Srila Prabhupada said, unless you know about someone, how can you love them? So we should know about Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna is the source of everything. Everything comes from him. Knowing this, great persons, they, with great feeling and pleasure, worship him. Baladev Vidyabhushan explains this name as prana te jivanamasya iti prana jivana. He whose very life is the gopis. Very similar to the previous one. So we see from this how Krishna, who is the life of all that lives, treats the devotees who are so dear to him as his own self. I'm going to read from Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, Text 6. Dhruva uvacha yonta pravishya mamavacha mimang prasuptam sanjiva yatya kila shakti dhara swadhamna anyang shahasta charana shravana twagadin prananamo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. Did you hear that word? Prana, pranan. Dhruva Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, you are all-powerful. After entering within me, you have enlivened all my sleeping senses, my hands, legs, ears, touch sensation, life force, prana, and especially my power of speech. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you." So the hands, legs, ears, the sensation of touch, they all operate because of prana, and it is Krishna who is the life of the prana, prana jivana. From the purport, Srila Prabhupada states, Dhruva Maharaj could understand very easily the difference between his condition before and after attaining spiritual realization and seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He could understand that his life force, his prana, and activities had been sleeping. Unless one comes to the spiritual platform, his bodily limbs, mind, and other facilities within the body are understood to be sleeping. Unless one is spiritually situated, all his activities are taken as a dead man's activities or ghostly activities. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has composed a song in which he addresses himself, "O living entity, get up! How long shall you sleep on the lap of Maya? Now you have the opportunity of possessing a human form of body. Now try to get up and realize yourself." The Vedas also declare, "Get up, get up! You have the opportunity, the boon of the human form of life. Now realize yourself." These are the Vedic injunctions. So from this spiritual perspective, unless we awaken to Krishna consciousness, we are like living dead. We don't really have life at all. It's like a whole bunch of zombies walking around like characters in a cartoon movie. That's what we are without Krishna consciousness. Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 56, Text 26, Extract. Jane Twang Sarvabhutanam Prana Oja Sahobalam Vishnung Purana Purusham Prabha Vishnum Adhishvaram. Again, you will have heard the word prana there. Jambavan said, speaking to Krishna, after having fought with Krishna, with the words here are prana and oja. So prana means life and oja means, it's something very similar, but it means a vigor, but it's not a temporary state of vigor. It means very enhanced state of prana in which one is very, very strong. So Jambavan was like that, and only after fighting so long with Krishna, then his own energy became worn down. Then he said, Jambavan said to Krishna, "I now know that you are the life air and the sensory, mental, and bodily strength of all living beings. You are Lord Vishnu, the original person, the supreme, all-powerful controller." In his commentary to this verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur paraphrases Jambavan as saying that if all the prana of the countless living entities in all the billions of the universes were brought together, and if all the strengths of all the senses, oja can be translated as the strength of all the senses, all the minds and the bodies were accumulated and all brought together, still I could understand, Jambavan says, that all this would be you alone, since all of this is simply your vibhuti. Vibhuti means a kind of opulence, manifestation of opulence. talking more about prana, meaning life, I've discussed this previously in the Vishnu Sahasranam commentary, but let's discuss it again. The spiritual understanding, which some people of the world have some insight into, many pre-Abrahamic religionists, or like what they call the Native Americans, or African, what they call animism. It's considered a very low standard of religion, but in many ways it's more advanced than the religions of the supposedly advanced, cultured, civilized people who don't recognize that everything is animate. The Vaishnava understanding, or the intrinsically perceived understanding of what they call primitive people. They call people who are primitive, who are not divorced from nature, people who live among the land, the trees, the air, the wind, the water, the grass, the animals, who live a very simple life. They can understand everything is animate. Life is everywhere. In the sun, the sun is a person, the moon is a person, the rivers are all persons, the trees are all persons, then there's the collective forest, even potentially in the atoms. The materialistic outlook, which is completely embedded in the Abrahamic religion, is that there's no life, only in humans and God, and that's it, finished. And then the atheistic materialistic outlook, physicalism, there's no such thing as life. Life is just a perception, according to them. Because according to them, life is chemical combination. Life is just a term that we use to describe what we perceive. But there's no such entity that is life. There's no intrinsic difference, according to the materialistic outlook, between that which is living and that which is not living. And then again we get the impersonalists, who accept the principle of life, but they depersonalize it by saying that there's only one Atma, who is a non-person, and all other manifestations of life are illusory. And again, the Christian conception, the Christians say, and Muhammad, the Muslims say, only God and humans are alive. There are no souls in animals. Therefore, this Life Comes From Life book is very important to delineate all these points. There are shortcomings in that book, but not in the philosophy. It's not exactly what some of the things Prabhupada didn't exactly say that, but it is the philosophy he taught. They say there's no life. There's no such thing as life, but life is pulsating with everywhere. As Srila Prabhupada said, that even in the desert, if there's rain, then immediately it starts little green, some greenery will come up. Even on rocks, if there's rain, some brave little species will poke itself up. Life is everywhere, on the earth, in the sky, in space, in fire, in the depths of the oceans. The whole world is just teeming with life, especially in the equatorial and tropical zones where there's heat and rain, and these two factors combined mean there's so many different species of flora and fauna that even the local people don't have names for them. They don't even know. If you leave a field untended, don't cultivate it, soon so many plants will spring up without sowing anything. If you leave it long enough, it'll just become all jungle. we find here in living in the tropical zone, once you get out of the cities especially, there are all kinds of insects and bugs, especially in the rainy season, all kinds of creepy crawlies, so many different. Years and years ago in Australia, I was just fabulous. Birds of paradise, they call them, and they have kangaroos. You don't see kangaroos out any other place except in the zoo. Koala bears, Africa, all kinds of things. There used to be in India lions and tigers, still a few here and there. In the Amazon, you have these piranha fish. Don't go for a swim in the Amazon. It's one way of committing suicide. Jump into the Amazon River, piranha, boom, in a few seconds, they'll all jump on you and your whole body will be, there'll just be a skeleton left. It's surprising, even in the Arctic zones, you look at some bare rock, but if you examine more deeply, there are some insects, some kinds of plants everywhere. People living in the concrete jungles have no idea how much life there is. Don't just be a botanist. See Krishna. Don't bring these theories that there's no God. There's life. Life is the very principle that makes life. Without the life principle, who are we? What are we? What are we doing? The life principle is Krishna, prana jivana. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas chakripa sindhubhya evacha patita anam pavane bhyo vaishnavi bhyo namah.